That was a beautiful song of praise. I hope, as we have encouraged in the past, and I know all have been taught through their lives, we give close attention to the message of the songs that we sing in our assemblies. They are an important part of the worship that we do to God. They are that which has been given to us by which we can express our joy, our honor, our praise, our gratefulness, our sorrow, our pain, all of these things. And while they are, for the most part, words of men, as long as they are words in line with Scripture, they are a benefit to us. They help us. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's a lot easier to get a point in a song than even just from a reading, because of the way those points are made, the emotional impact that the vocal part of that singing has. And so we need to recognize the usefulness of our song service and take full advantage of it. And certainly we need to give close attention to the words. We need to determine whether they are, as we're going to talk about this morning, sound doctrine. And then we need to take them into our hearts and make them a part of our lives and in our service unto God. We want to look this morning at some more instruction from the Apostle Paul. We've had two lessons where we looked at some instruction that Paul gave Timothy in 2 Timothy, which was probably the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. He sent it to Timothy as he was in, Paul himself was in prison awaiting his death for the cause of Christ after having been persecuted and mistreated for so many years teaching the Word of God. And he gave some very important instruction to Timothy, the preacher there. And we talked about how even though that letter is written to one who is a preacher or teacher of the gospel, it is a message that we need to give attention to. And that's one of the reasons we want to look at Titus chapter 2 this morning, because this particular passage in this letter, Paul words it in such a way that it makes it clear that the instructions that he gave to the various preachers, the teachings that he gave to them, they were to pass on to others. You cannot look at Titus chapter 2 and say, this applies to preachers and preachers alone. Because it's very clear that the Apostle Paul expects Titus to teach these things to Christians. And he starts that chapter by telling Titus, you teach what accords with sound doctrine. In other words, Titus, what you're supposed to be doing as a preacher and teacher of the gospel is making sure that the things you teach are sound, solid. Healthy is another term that is used to translate that idea of sound doctrine. That it's not sick. It's not got parts missing. It's not got pieces that are bent or broken. It's not been adulterated like the gospel that Paul warned the Galatian brethren that they had turned away after, which was not the gospel of God anymore because it was adulterated. It was unsound because it had had broken parts added to it. This is sound doctrine. Every time we go to sit down, we want to sit down on a chair that is sound. I got at least one dining room chair that when I sit in it, I'm reminded that it may not be sound because I haven't taken and tightened it up and glued it back together good. It might fall at any time. So when Paul writes this to Titus, he says, you make sure you are teaching those things that are in accord with sound doctrine. We need to recognize that this idea of sound doctrine is the teaching that controls our character, our attitude, and our actions. In fact, in verse 2 through 10, there are a number of specific instructions, or at least more specific instructions, that Paul gives to Titus that emphasize this idea. If you recall over in the book of 2 John, when John writes there and gives warning, he says the one that goes beyond the doctrine of Christ And there's a lot of discussion back and forth from time to time about what doctrine is, where Paul makes clear here in Titus chapter 2 what doctrine is. Titus, you teach those things that accord with sound doctrine. Here's what you teach, Titus. And he starts with older men. Now, if you want to get into the Greek and look back, you will see the similarity between the Greek word translated older men there and the Greek word that is translated elder elsewhere in Paul's writings. But they're not the same. He's not talking about an office. He's talking about those who are of age, those who are older. If we were to look at this particular assembly, he's talking about John and Bill and Reuben and Jimmy, maybe even me and David. Probably not little John. He's talking about older men, and he says, Titus, here's what you're supposed to teach them. These things are sound doctrine. Verse 2, older men are to be sober-minded. Sober-minded. Your mind needs to be settled. Your mind needs to be clear. Let me rephrase that. Our minds need to be clear. We need to be able to think through problems and situations. We need to make sure that our mind is not clouded or confused. That's a part of doctrine. And I hope you see the similarities between that word and some of the things that are said regarding elders in the Lord's church, those who are set apart for leadership. Older men are to be taught that they should be sober-minded, they should be dignified. Now, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. There are other translations that may use a few variances on these words, and I encourage you to go and read from those because it will help you to get an idea of the full thought of what Paul is trying to get across as he tells Timothy these things. But we know what that word dignified means, don't we? It means someone who is honorable, someone who is upright, someone that can be looked up to. That word gets tainted a little bit sometimes in our world because we think about dignitaries and we think, well, there's a lot of folks who are considered dignitaries that aren't very upright and proper. But we need to look back. The idea has to do with them being in a position. And because of that, they are honorable. We as older men need to be dignified. We need to be somebody that can be looked up to. That others can come to and say, I'm having a problem with this. Can you help me? I'm trying to work my way through this passage of Scripture. Where do I go? Well, how about going to one of the older men who is sober-minded and dignified, who lives his life in an upright and honorable way? So that he stands out. Not because he's been placed upon a pedestal, but because his way of life illustrates that he is a person that can be counted on and can be looked up to. Paul, in several instances, talks about how those he was writing to were to follow him, or follow him as I follow Christ. He even talked about the young man Timothy and told the Corinthian brethren that they needed to be careful how they conducted themselves in regard to him because he was one that Paul could trust. And he was sending Timothy to Corinth because he knew that Timothy would do the things that were right, would teach the gospel. To me, that's a part of this idea of dignified. Then he says self-control. Self-control. In other words, this individual needs to be someone who doesn't have to constantly be nagged to do the things that they're supposed to do. Doesn't have to constantly be prodded by others. He doesn't have to receive a phone call on Saturday evening to remind him that services start at 10 o'clock or 10:20 or 9:30, whatever the time may be at the particular place he attends on Sunday morning. When we lived in Texas, we had one family that if you didn't call them sometime during the week, it was very unlikely that they would be at worship services that next Sunday morning. But as long as somebody called them sometime during the week, especially if it was the preacher's family or one of the elders' families, they would be there on Sunday. They didn't have self-control. They weren't able to watch for themselves. They constantly had to be coddled and dealt with. Paul says, Titus, you teach older men that they are never to get themselves in that situation. They need to be able to control themselves. When they get into a troublesome situation, they are able to take action properly with accountability to God. You would think that would be the common expectation of one who is older, especially those who have been part of the body of Christ for a number of years, even decades. Because they would have been working on that, and through Bible study, they would know what to do. At least they would know what not to do. Paul said, Titus, when you teach sound doctrine, you teach aged men to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith. There again is that word sound. Healthy in faith. A faith that is not broken. A faith that has been shored up and worked on to the point that it is able to support that individual and even others. Sound in faith. Not wishy-washy. Not following after every whim or whatever new thing might come along. Sound in faith. And folks, we know how faith comes. Faith comes by the Word of God. Paul told the Roman brethren that faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, this is an individual who has spent time in the Word of God. Paul told Titus to tell older men, you ought to have been studying for a long time. If you hadn't, maybe it's time to step it up, because you need to be sound in faith. You also need to be sound in love. I know it doesn't say sound in love there, but the sentence structure indicates that sound goes with in love also. That means understanding what love is. That means knowing how to express our love for God. If you hadn't already read it, maybe you should read the article in the bulletin this morning. It kind of talks about that a little bit. If you want to see an illustration of soundness in love, read about Jesus. Because, especially John, is very clear in expressing how Christ loved man and how Christ loved God. And, of course, he's the perfect example for us to follow in those things. We need to be sound in love. We need to be sound in perseverance. Patience or steadfastness, as my English Standard Version has here. And yes, I said sound in. We need to be healthy in our perseverance. We need to have a perseverance that doesn't crack under pressure. Actually, that's kind of what the idea of perseverance is. Even in face of opposition, we keep doing what we know we're supposed to do. Paul said, Titus, you teach older men that they have a responsibility to conduct themselves according to the gospel. Here's some points that they need to acknowledge and seek after in their own life. Sober-mindedness, dignified, self-controlled, faith, love, and steadfastness. That's what you teach older men. Interesting, Titus was probably younger than these older men that he was to teach. Maybe that gives us a little insight into older men as well, willing to take instruction. just because we've been around the block a few times doesn't mean that we can't learn anything. We may not learn any new tricks, but we can certainly gain some more information. Paul told Titus, sound doctrine means teaching older men about their character, their attitude, and their actions. And then in verse 3, he begins on another part of sound doctrine. He says, Titus, you teach those things that are in accord with sound doctrine. You teach older women likewise. In other ways, in a similar manner, which means a lot of those things that he's already talked about in regards to older men also apply to older women. But he uses a few different words in talking about them. Maybe it's because of particular problems that arose in the churches because of the society or the habits that had been developed as Jews or Gentiles through the years. But Paul told Titus to tell older women that they are to be reverent in behavior. That sounds a lot like dignified to me. Honorable, upright. Reverent in behavior. Not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They're not to speak evil of others. They're not to go about that. Not slanderers covers the idea of gossip, by the way. Not slaves to much wine. Don't get bogged down in the things of this world. Specifically, don't get caught up in drinking your troubles away. Don't find yourself focusing on something that takes you away from clear-mindedness and focus in serving the Lord. Because you have grave responsibilities to fulfill. Reverent in behavior. Not slanderers, not gossips, not backbiters. Not enslaved to the things of this world, in particular not enslaved to strong drink. They're to teach what is good. They are to teach what is good. Older women have a responsibility to teach. If there was no other passage in the pages of Scripture that told us that women have a responsibility in the Lord's church, this verse tells us that. Now, we've got passages that give some restrictions. In fact, they give restrictions to men and women. That's a whole other lesson, though. But in this passage, Paul tells Titus that he is, as a part of teaching sound doctrine, to teach older women, they have a responsibility to teach. Not just teach anything, though. Teach what is good. Why? And so train the young women. There's where that direct responsibility goes. Older women have a responsibility not only to keep themselves right in the sight of God, be careful about their character, their attitude, and their actions, but to teach younger women that which is good. And in doing so, they train them. I wonder sometimes if the Lord's church might not be in better shape today if there had been a lot more of the older training the younger than there has been. Before we get into the rest of what he talks about here, because there's some specific things he deals with in this, let's just generally say the women have a responsibility to teach those who are coming up. Are we fulfilling that responsibility as we ought to? You know things that younger women don't know, and they need to know. But Paul gets a little specific with the teaching and training that older women are to give to younger women. And this is where I sometimes get in trouble. But it's not me. It's what God's Word says. It's what the Apostle Paul tells the preacher Timothy. He said, you need to make sure the older women know that they are to teach what is good, and in that way train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, to be pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the Word of God may not be reviled. Let's talk about the import of not doing that first. You see what Paul does there? If the older women are not teaching the younger women these things, the Word of God will be reviled. People will look and say, well, she's not living her life in a way that expresses God, that honors God. Why should I give any attention to it? Does this Word of God really matter? Because these people who claim to be Christians, they're growing up and they're not living a life that follows the Word of God. And I'm well aware that applies to both young men and young women, old men and older women. It's interesting that the specific instruction that Paul gives here for the young women to learn from the older women is not about how to get along in society, but it's about their responsibility in the home. They're to be self-controlled. Well, that's the same thing that older men were told, isn't it? They're to be able to keep themselves focused and doing what is right. They're to be pure in their actions and in their way of life. They shouldn't be tainted by things. That means they need to be careful how they conduct themselves as they go through life. They're to be working at home. That does not mean that's the only place they can work. We have examples of women who worked outside the home. We have examples of women who did a lot of work in the home that had nothing to do with raising children. But the main thing that younger women need to learn is they have a responsibility to working at home. They've got a responsibility there that they must fulfill. We've got other passages that tell us that husbands have responsibility in the home. I mean, we've looked at, over in one of the letters to Timothy in chapter 6. Fathers, raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Responsibility in the home. Young women need to learn from older women. Probably at the earliest points from their mothers. And considering my audience, maybe even their grandmother. That they have responsibilities to their family. They have responsibilities in the home. That no matter what other responsibilities they have, if they're going to be conducting themselves according to sound doctrine, they have to fulfill those responsibilities at home. Kind. Submissive to their own husbands. Not to somebody else's husband, to their own husband. So that the Word of God is not reviled. How the older women teach and train the younger women can have an effect on what people think about the Word of God. That's a sobering thought. What is it, the song or phrase used to say, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world? Most of you here recognize the kind of influence that you have as mothers. Some of you aren't mothers yet, so you won't recognize that just yet. But talk to your mother or grandmother, they can give you some insight into it. It's a grave responsibility laid upon someone. And that's why Paul told Titus, you need to teach older women to prepare younger women for this. It's done in the home. It can be done in Bible classes. It can be done in messaging groups. We got so many different ways that we can teach and contact one another nowadays that we ought never be out of contact. We should never have the attitude, well, there's just no way I can teach this. Because there are ways. And I say that not just talking to women, but men as well. In verse 6, he continues and says, here's what you teach the younger men that is in accordance with sound doctrine. Urge the younger men to be self-controlled. You know, as I read this and thought about it, I thought, well, why didn't he tell the younger men to be sound in faith? Or to be dignified? Or to be sober-minded? And then I got to thinking and remembering myself when I would classify as a younger man. You know what my biggest problem was? Staying in control. Everything else that I dealt with as a young man, I can attribute almost directly to a lack of self-control. I did great as long as Dad was standing there watching me. Or as long as I was closely associated with brethren or with my family or those who were upright. It's when I was out by myself, when I didn't have somebody else to, whoa, wait a minute, don't do that, that I got in trouble. Every single time. That's why Paul tells Titus, when you're teaching the things that account for sound doctrine, you teach younger men that they need to learn control. Control of their minds, control of their bodies, control of their emotional responses. You know, get mad quick. Get excited. And get pulled into things, not knowing when to stop. Younger men need to learn self-control. If they don't learn self-control, they're never going to be sober-minded or dignified. If a young man does not learn how to control himself, he's not going to remain sound in the faith. He's going to get carried about by every wind of doctrine. Whatever comes along that catches his fancy, it's going to pull him away. The one who doesn't have control is never going to be steadfast. Steadfastness is an outgrowth of being able to control self, to keep self focused. And I have to add here, maybe some of the problems that we as older men, middle-aged men and older men have are because we didn't learn self-control as well as we should have. And that's why Paul told Titus when he was talking to older men, remind them about self-control. Character, attitude, and action. They all are a part of sound doctrine. Sound doctrine controls those things. We need to acknowledge Paul did not just tell Titus, here's what you teach to everybody else. He also said, here's what you need to know. Show yourself in all respects, in verse 7 of Titus chapter 2, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. And one of the major things that that passage tells me is I need to make sure that everything I'm teaching can be backed up or is backed up by the Word of God. I should never speak in a way that I would have to worry about, can I back that up? Because I have a responsibility for what I teach and how I teach it. And whether my teaching matches my activity. I suspect that's where most of us have to work the hardest at, and make sure that we are living in full accordance with what we're trying to teach. Because sound doctrine, those things that are in accordance with sound doctrine, control character, attitude, and action. Verse 9 and 10, he gives some instruction to slaves. Actually, I like other renderings better here. Bond servants is a better idea here, because the word slave has a connotation, especially in this country, in this time. And if you look at the history, it's more likely what he's referencing are bond servants, folks who gave themselves voluntarily, entered under contract into a relationship with an individual who was going to be their master, their owner, whatever, for probably a period of about 7 years. And when those 7 years were over and they fulfilled their contract, not only were they free, they were given a certificate of freedom, and their masters returned to them funds that had been set aside for them while they were working for them. That's a little different concept than we think of when we think of slaves. And that's why oftentimes when I teach verse 9 and 10 here, I say this applies more to our employer-employee relationship than anything else that we might have today. We enter into a contract with someone to allow them to control our work life. They tell us where to be, what to do, how to act, sometimes even what to wear, sometimes even what to say. And he says, we need to be submissive in that relationship. Slaves or bond servants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. If you work at Chicken Express, you're not responsible to the owner of Chick-fil-A. Only to the owner of Chicken Express. I almost said that wrong, didn't I? They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering. In case you don't know what that word is, that's stealing. But showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. In other words, in your business relationships, conduct yourself in an upright and proper manner according to all the principles and teachings of the Word of God. Just because we're at work doesn't mean we live differently than we do when we're at church. We have responsibilities to live upright and godly, to wear the doctrine of God. Sound doctrine deals with character, attitude, and action. And Titus was told, here's some specifics in regard to that that you teach to these various groups. And that pretty much covers everybody that Titus was going to come in contact with in his teaching. And pretty much every aspect of life. He said, you do that so that you're presenting sound doctrine. Because that is what came from God. Brother Jimmy read for us at the beginning of our service, verse 11 through 15. and hoping you listened attentively. Because Paul, as he continues here to instruct the young man, I don't know how young Titus is, I don't know why I keep calling him, to instruct Titus in how he was to teach others, he says, here's how you're supposed to teach, here's what you're supposed to teach, things that accord with sound doctrine, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Do you know the similarity between the things that the grace of God that brought salvation to all people has trained us in and the things that Titus was told to teach to these various groups? Self-controlled, upright, godly. Waiting for our blessed hope. The gospel of Christ, the sound doctrine that Titus was to teach to these individuals and that we are to be focused on today, looks to Christ. You know, oftentimes when we talk about the crucifixion of Christ, we say the Old Testament looks toward that and the New Testament looks back to that. And that's true. But let's not forget that the New Testament also looks toward Christ. Christ in heaven. Christ in eternity. We live in this manner because we're waiting for those things for which we hope. What is that? The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness. This doctrine that we are to be teaching, we are to be sound in teaching it and in practicing it because it takes us forward to Christ. It's what guides us and keeps us straight until judgment day. Isn't that what he's talking about when he talks about the appearing of God and Jesus? And to purify himself for a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. The sound doctrine that comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. From the word that was delivered by inspired men to be spread throughout all the world teaches us that we ought to be doing good works. In fact, zealous for. Seeking after, longing to. And of course, that points back to all these things he said about these various groups and how we conduct ourselves. Sound doctrine comes from God, prepares us for eternity, and pushes us to do good things in accordance with the will of God. Teach those things which are in accord with sound doctrine. Declare these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Take note, when Paul told Titus that he needed to teach sound doctrine, he said, you got two sides to deal with. You have to build up and tear down. You have to build up and strengthen the Word of God. You have to encourage and exhort the brethren to do good, and you need to rebuke them when they do wrong. And since he also put instruction there for Titus, Titus needs to accept rebuke himself. You cannot read Titus chapter 2 honestly and with an open mind and come away with the idea that the instructions we find given to these various individuals are only for preachers. The same things that we see Paul telling Timothy he was to do, some of the same things we find Paul telling Timothy and Titus were to be seen in elders and in deacons are also seen here in the teaching to the various groups that Titus would be associated with as he taught the Word of God.
Teach those things that are in accordance with sound doctrine. That means older men have responsibilities and we need to impress those upon them. Younger men have responsibilities and we need to impress those things. Older women have responsibilities. They need to understand those things and they need to be doing their part because younger women need to be trained and taught. And who better to train a young woman than an older woman who has already gone through those things? Teachers have responsibilities. We need to be reminded of it. We have responsibilities in our business and social life. All of those things are governed by the doctrine of Christ. And as John said in 2 John, if we go past that doctrine of Christ, if we turn away and go beyond the Word of God, in fact, we can find this in all three of his epistles to some degree or another, we'll suffer the consequences. We'll be cast out from God. The question for each of us this morning is, am I following sound doctrine? It does no good to teach sound doctrine if we don't take it into our hearts and apply it in our lives. Am I sober-minded, self-controlled, dignified, clear-headed, focused on doing good work? If not, it's time to change. Time to come back to God. Submit yourself wholly to Him and do His will. If we love God, we will keep His commandments. If you find this morning that you failed in keeping those commandments and we can assist you in getting things right with you, we urge you to let that desire be known. Opportunity is yours. Why don't you come? Always stand in sympathy.